This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
You heard from Brian Snitker, manager of the Atlanta Braves, along with Cardinals skipper Mike Schilt. Mike Foltynewicz, who will start Game 5 for Atlanta today, and the Cardinals starter Jack Flaherty. And the pregame comes your way at 3:30 here on 101 ESPN. Game 5 between the Cardinals and the Braves. And then we want to hear from you in our next segment, because this is just a formality. We want to know who you want the Cardinals to play in the World Series.
Oh, yeah.
Either Tampa or the Yankees, either
right.
One. Tell us who you want to see and why. And if you want to throw Houston, if you want to give Garrett Cole a chance. By the way, before we get to the Cardinals, how'd you like to be a Pirate fan watching Game 5 tomorrow with Garrett Cole going against Tyler Glasnow?
Let's see.
Holy cow.
What's Neil Huntington doing right now?
He's got a job.
I'm going to tell you something. That organization, and there are some organizations in baseball that their fan bases, it's hard to feel sorry for a sports fan because it's just sports, really. But I feel sorry for Pirates fans.
Me too.
They put together something really nice about 10 to 15 years ago, at least the start of something.
Yeah.
The start, which should have been the beginning of a nice run, and they didn't do a damn thing.
No.
To try and make that team better.
It. I mean, how can you?
Terrible.
Yeah, and we'll get to that later on. You heard Holy Snikes, Brian Snitker, talking about what a great series this has been. 7-6 in Game 1 and the drama in the 8th and 9th innings. Then the Foltynewicz gem in Game 2, 3-0 Atlanta. Then Atlanta wins Game 3, 3-1 with 3 runs in the 9th inning to prevail. And then the Cardinals come back and win Game 4, 5-4 in 10 innings. It has been an incredibly competitive and fun series.
This has been the best series of what has been a really good playoff so far. All of these series, with the exception of the Yankees and Twins, because they just dominated
They're
Minnesota.
They're different leagues. They really are.
Right. It's completely different. But these other three series have all been really good. And there's been a lot of unpredictable stuff that's happened, especially in the other two. This one, I think, going in, we all pretty much expected it to go 5, right? I didn't think it was going to be a sweep. I really didn't think it was going to be a 4-game series. We all talked about it going 5. Maybe our opinions changed about how it was going to go down as the series went on. After he lost that one game, you thought, okay, well, maybe this is not going to work out for us. But this has been the outcome. Has been about what I expected it to be. It just hasn't gone the way I thought it was going to go to get to that point.
Here's the lineup that Mike Schilt has arrived at for Game 5. He's going to go with Dexter Fowler in center field and leading off. Wonger hitting second. Goldschmidt hitting third. Then Ozuna, Molina, and Carpenter at third base. Edman in right. DeJong is your shortstop. And Flaherty is on the mound. For the Braves, Acuna, Albies, Freeman, Donaldson, Markakis, Duvall, McCann, Dansby Swanson, and Foltynewicz. And with Jack Flaherty on the mound, he threw 117 pitches in Game 2. My expectation would be, with the trust that Mike Schilt has in several of his starters, namely Adam Wainwright and Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty will be given a ton of rope, and it wouldn't surprise me if he would throw 117 pitches and go 8 innings again.
Well, he should get a ton of rope here because he's the best pitcher they have.
And the best pitcher anybody has, really.
And there's not somebody they're going to bring in the middle of it. Even though they've had a pretty good pitching staff this year, there isn't anybody you're going to bring in to replace him that's going to do better than what he's doing. Unless, just for whatever reason, he is completely lost and has nothing. I can't see that happening. That would be maybe the most shocking development, unless the Rays end up winning that series. Although, didn't I pick them to represent the AL when I was doing Hot Take
Tuesday?
At one
point you did, yeah.
Yeah, I think I did. So I wonder if that's
nothing
gonna,
wrong with that.
Yeah, I wonder if that's going to actually happen. But it would be the most surprising thing to happen in this postseason if he just gets knocked around in the first couple of innings and they have to go to the bullpen early. I can't see it happening.
Stuff has happened, though.
It has.
It happens all the time.
The way he's throwing the ball, the way he's been doing it for almost 3 months now.
Right.
I would never bet against him.
And here's the thing with Foltynewicz. He has been as effective. Granted, he lost his regular season finale, only went four innings and allowed three runs to the Mets. But before that, eight shutout innings against San Francisco, six innings, one run against Washington, seven innings, one run against Philadelphia, five innings, no runs against Toronto, a game at Toronto. He goes 4 2/3, but only allows two earned runs. A game at New York against the Mets, seven innings, one run. A game against the Dodgers, seven innings, two runs, two earned runs. So Foltynewicz, while he hasn't been Flaherty, he's been almost Flaherty, because Flaherty is 0.91 in the second half of the season, and Foltynewicz over his last 10 starts or so was essentially a 2 ERA guy.
If everything plays out the way it has so far, this is going to be another pitching game about that, because both teams, with the exception of a couple of guys on each squad, both teams have been pretty miserable hitting throughout, and it's probably because the pitching has been so good.
That happens at this time of year sometimes.
But when, just from the Braves side, when you have Josh Donaldson hitting 133 for the series, and Markakis at 176, and Freeman at 125, he's probably banged up. I don't think he's healthy. I know he's been dealing with the bone spurs. Probably going to get something done about that in the offseason. Maybe his timing is off, starting with that injury, with him not feeling quite right, and the fact he didn't play toward the end of the season. And, you know, they needed him out there, and he wasn't able to do it for him. You have to figure he's really fighting through something right now and is making sure he's playing in the postseason just because it's the postseason. But I guarantee you he's really banged up, even though he's not talking about it. So you've got a lineup on the other side. They're not doing very well either, with the exception of Acuna and Duvall, who's in the lineup for today. And Dansby Swanson has actually been doing really well.
I would be surprised if we didn't see Flaherty pitching in the eighth inning. Would you?
If he's not pitching?
I would be surprised if he is out of the game in the eighth inning. I think that he'll finish seven and he'll be pitching in the eighth.
Oh, you think he's going to start the eighth? Jack Flaherty?
Yeah, I think he will.
Oof. I think he's... I would absolutely bet on at least six and starting seven. But I don't know... I don't know what happens once the seventh inning begins.
I think that's
a tough bet.
I think the bullpen has to give the Cardinals a maximum of six outs.
If that's all they have to do, that is set up perfectly for them today.
I think that's what I expect from him.
But if you're having to get nine, now you're getting a little dicey. Even though the pen's been good, it's the playoffs.
You never know. Look what happened in game three here with the 1-0 lead, and you thought Adam Wainwright had done, well, he had done everything that he could to give you the victory.
And Carlos Martinez is getting the baseball today. If there's a lead in the ninth and it's a one-run game, that ball's going to him. So people better be prepared for it, because that's how it's going to go down.
Coming up in the fast lane, so you got game five, and it'll be here on 101 ESPN, and you don't even have to bother with the game after that, because the Cardinals are going to the World Series.
That's right.
And our question is, who in the American League do you want to see? What American League team would you like to have participate in the World Series against the Cardinals? Leave us a mic drop with the 101 ESPN app. Tell us whether you want to see the Yankees, the Rays, or maybe if they have a slight chance, the Astros. Mm-hmm. Who would you like to see and why?
Yeah, because as you said earlier, this is a formality. And obviously the LCS,
here's my thing.
Yeah.
I'm choosing between watching Tommy Pham play or Luke Voit play or Kate Upton in the stands.
Oh, forget Kate Upton in the stands.
Okay,
they're not going to show her enough.
I'll be there.
Oh, really?
At the games?
Oh, here.
Here, yeah.
Yeah, you'll be here. Okay.
I have binoculars, Raj.
I thought you were true. You have the internet, too.
That's true. Good point.
You don't need it on
TV.
Okay,
so I want to see Tommy Pham play.
My God, wouldn't it be awesome to have Thomas Pham?
That'd be great.
In the World Series?
We want to know what you think with the mic drop feature on the 101 ESPN app next on 101 ESPN. That was Clark, who thinks that we're talking about the Nationals and the Dodgers. Who are they?
Oh, yeah, we're not worried about them.
No.
Yeah, we're going right past the LCS.
Yeah, we're going into the World Series.
Yeah, this is a World Series conversation.
12-19.
Yeah, oh, right. Is that, yeah.
Because we had
12-12.
It was, and then 12-13, and then 12-14. So now it's 12-19.
All right, 12-19, I guess.
I wonder why Mike Schilt doesn't wear number 12. I know DeYoung does.
DeYoung has it.
When Girardi got to the Yankees, he switched. He had number 27 because they were in pursuit of their 27th World Championship. And then when they won the 27th, he switched to number 28. And Tony always claimed, even though he was completely farcical about it, that he was wearing number 10 here originally because he was pursuing his 10th. But he wore 10 everywhere he was.
Well, it's a nice thing to say, and there are some people who won't check it out. You know, they won't fact check it.
Right.
They're just going to go with it. Man, that's really cool of him.
Yeah,
he's wearing 10 so he can get his 10th victory here.
So we want to know who you want to see in the World Series, whether it be the Yankees or the Rays or maybe even the Astros. Let's go to Vic on 101 ESPN.
Well, I hope I haven't drank too much of the Cardinals and Jack Kool-Aid. As I said in earlier mic drop, pick the Cardinals versus the Rays and Tommy Pham. If they can win versus the Braves and if they can beat the Nationals. But hopefully I haven't drank too much of the Cardinals and Jack's Kool-Aid.
If. Okay, let's get this straight right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not if, it's when.
Right.
So if they can beat the Nationals, if they can beat the... No, it's when they beat...
Correct.
That's why we're talking about the World Series now.
All right, so here's what's going to happen. If they play the Dodgers... they're just going to beat up on Clayton Kershaw twice, which is what that's what they always do.
Yep.
If they have to play the Nationals, they're going to get into the bullpen early and just go to town and start eating. That's what's going to happen against the Nats. So, look, that series, forget about it. There's nothing about
it's over now.
Yeah, there's nothing about the Dodgers and Nationals that we need to worry about.
No.
Might as well be a high school team.
Let's get to Steven on 101.
I don't care who they play in the World Series if they make it, because... like that great American Ric Flair once said, baby, to be the best, you gotta beat the best. Woo!
There you go.
Let's not bring back the woo, though, during the World Series.
No.
Let's leave that one shelved.
Yeah, the BFIB is above the Nature Boy in the World Series.
I don't think they are.
Well, maybe the World Series, though, I hope.
I don't think so. I think that's when it probably comes out.
Woo!
Yeah. But you know what? I would prefer... people get ready for the Battle Hawks during the World Series.
That'd be fun.
I'd prefer more of that.
All right.
That'll get the birds going. See, they can have a nice little partnership. They're going to play right down the street from each other.
Uh-huh.
You got the Redbirds. They can caw.
Yeah.
You got the Battle Hawks.
And the Redbirds who are prepared to go to battle.
That's right. They're just, you know, they're just a flock of birds together.
Yeah.
One mission, and that mission is to win.
Let's go to James, who's next on 101 ESPN.
Clean it up.
Yeah, come on, people.
Listen, we appreciate your mic drops. Sometimes we don't get to edit them.
Yeah, that's the great thing about having meat over in the corner with the text machine. Nate, what do you got for us?
We've got a listener. This listener must be from Australia. They say, crikey!
Crikey.
Yep, too many times when you guys have talked cocky, the Cardinals have let us down. Don't jinx us.
Now, hold on a second.
With the spelling J-Y-N-X, by the way.
Jinx. When we talk cocky, the Blues win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Have they ever heard of the fast lane bump? Because
that's
right. A real thing.
You get the fast lane bump, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paul DeJong was really good when he came on the show with us.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't been on in a while.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Waino, I think, it was the last Cardinal to come on with us.
Huh.
That's worked out pretty well.
Look at the season he's had.
Just saying.
Yep. Right?
Who else we got?
This one from Twitter, an American League opponent. But for now, let's be ready to play today. So they're not believing quite yet. How about a Braves, Dodgers, Yankees path? That would be historic.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I would love to see the Yankees. Okay.
Uh-huh.
We've been looking for a Cardinals-Yankees World Series for a long time. Been talking about it forever and the possibility of it. Two historic franchises.
Nearly had it in 96, nearly had it in 04.
Correct. And you probably, I mean, those are the two, in each league, the two winningest.
Yeah.
So,
in terms of World Series.
Right. So I think you'd love to have it, but the prospect of playing against Tommy Pham. I love
that would be fun.
Love the thought of it. I think there's so much intrigue in that alone. So no matter what happened, forget about Houston. They're not going to make it. They aren't any good, you know?
It's true.
I mean, the Astros, Randy.
But the Astros, Chris Correa, Jeff Luhnow, all of that stuff.
Oh, does Chris Correa, is he still in prison?
No, he's out.
Oh, he's out?
Yeah.
Oh, so he can watch these games freely.
Yeah.
Do you think he's rooting for or against Houston?
He's probably rooting against Houston, I would think.
Hmm.
I would if I were him.
Yeah, I would too. Yep.
We've got a mic drop from the 101 ESPN app. Here's Avery.
Yeah, I'd like to see us face the Detroit Tigers in the World Series. That was huge of us beating the Mets. Adam Wainwright, he looks ready to go as a closer. He's going to be really good in this league. People are going to sleep on Anthony Reyes, man, but I think he can come out and dominate game one in Detroit. We got guys like Jeff Weaver, Scott Spezio, David Eckstein, man. We're stacked. We're ready to go. Give us Detroit.
Ron, I feel really bad about the accident that apparently happened.
Which accident?
That put this caller Avery in a coma for 13 years.
Oh, no. I think Meat just accidentally opened the 2006 mic drop folder.
Oh, that could be, too.
That's all that was.
Or is this new? What
no,
do we
that's
have?
Legit. That's new.
Oh, that's
yeah.
new?
Yeah. So it was a little coma, right before the 2006 NLCS.
That man is time traveling.
Yeah.
A little reminiscent.
Okay.
Impressive.
I'll tell you what. I'll take Detroit, too. Yeah. They won like 50 games this year.
Yeah.
This one makes total sense from Twitter. The Yankees, because they suck.
Oh
yeah. Well, the Yankees always suck.
Poor
Everybody
Luke
knows
Voigt,
that.
Though.
You know, I don't care about that.
Oh, I do.
Now, okay.
He's a St. Louis guy. I love the
guy. Yeah, I know. But is there any real intrigue in the Cardinals if they're in the World Series? I'm sorry. When they're in the World
yes,
Series.
Yes, thank you.
Is there any intrigue in facing Luke Voigt? I don't think
not
there
as
is.
Much as there is in Tommy Pham.
Tommy Pham is, I can't get over the possibility of it. Don't let me down, everyone.
Don't let me down.
Go How ahead. About the Rays getting, they're going to bullpen the Astros to death in game five. I love it.
So we were talking about the fast lane bump, and a texter points out a great point here from the 314. Guys, the stat is absolutely true. BT has given up zero home runs to opposing hitters since joining the fast lane. Hashtag fast lane bump.
That's a great stat.
Very good point.
Hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, we appreciate your mic drops and your texts, and we're looking forward to the World Series, and you'll hear every World Series game that the Cardinals play that is not in conflict with your Stanley Cup champion Blues. You'll hear it here on 101 ESPN.
Pre-game today at 3:30, by the way.
For?
The Division Series, which is a formality.
Yeah. Okay.
This game's a formality today.
Yeah, and then tonight, who plays tonight? Dodgers.
And Nats. Nobody cares about that. No, it doesn't matter. No.
Coming up next in the fast lane, in a win-or-go-home game, the Cardinals are turning to Jack Flaherty. Like many others have before him, this is a chance for the ace to cement himself in Cardinal lore. That's next on 101 ESPN. Waino in 2013 against the Pirates, getting that final out. This will be NLDS Game 5, number 5 for the Cardinals. And as Eric Gould notes at stltoday.com and in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, in each of the previous four NLDS Game 5s that the Cardinals have played, they started their ace, Matt Morris in 2001 against Arizona, Chris Carpenter in 2011 against Philadelphia, Adam Wainwright in 2012, and Wainwright again in 2013. And now, unequivocally, even with Wainwright still on the roster, he's not what he was in 2012 and 2013, and Flaherty is what Wainwright was in those years. So the Cardinals will have the opportunity to get Jack Flaherty into Cardinal history by winning a decisive game.
And I understand that for Fulton Avich, he's getting the same benefit, but for Jack Flaherty, he gets to do this on regular rest, which I believe is a really big deal here. And it shows the Cardinals did not feel any sort of desperation. They had it lined up exactly the way they wanted it lined up because of the way the season ended. They pitched Flaherty on the final day. So it worked out that he's going to get two starts. Game five was going to be the second start if the series were to go that long. So and after watching Justin Verlander struggle in yesterday's game or last night's game, I'm glad that the Cardinals did not have to be in a position to start their best guy a day early because they were desperate and needed him to win. So everything sets up nicely for them. Again, Mike Fulton-Evich is going to get to do the exact same thing. But I feel very comfortable with Jack Flaherty on regular rest.
And Jack Flaherty just has that incredible competitive drive. And he's one of those guys where you say he's built to pitch a winner-take-all game, like Carpenter, like Wainwright, like Bob Gibson back in the day. He's one of those guys that, kind of like Justin Verlander, if you have a game seven and you're Houston or a game five, you like having Justin Verlander on the mound. And that's the way I feel about Jack Flaherty, even though he's only 23 years old, right. Even though he's only in his second year. I feel that way about him already.
What about him makes you nervous, if anything? And when I look at him, it's a really important question to ask, and you don't know what's going to happen in a playoff series. Anything can happen in one game. And I know that's a sports cliche, but it's really true. He could blow up in the first inning. He could have a really bad start today. But when I look at him and watching him pitch over the last 3 months, there is not a single thing in his game or a single thing in his demeanor, nothing about him makes me nervous at all.
And even though he's 23, this is something that he's been building toward since he was 17 years old.
You turn into a different kind of animal or a different kind of beast once you get on the mound. And he's like, I don't know what it is or what you think about or what you try to channel or what energy you try to bring, but he's like, stay with that. And so every time I've gone on the mound, I mean, it's kind of getting in that zone and getting into that mental state and kind of whatever it takes where it's almost, I mean, we're going into a heavyweight fight, and you know, it's me versus the guy in the box. Granted, I've got seven guys behind me and a Hall of Fame guy behind the plate, but it's me versus you, and that's kind of what it is. My job is to get you out. And so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on or who's in my way, but you know, my job is to get you out. And so that's just kind of, I think that's kind of where it comes from. But it's just that's the mental state that I kind of have to be in.
And that's something his high school coach said, man, you're just different when you get on the mound in a game like that. And that's a competitiveness and a ferocity that he has. I think it's innate, but it's built up within him.
Well, I think you can get better at something like that as a player, but there are just some people that have it. You know, it's already in them. You don't have to. He can get better at it too as the years go on, and I hope that's the case. Look, when we talk about him being an eventual Cy Young candidate, well, he's going to be a candidate this year. He's probably not going to win the award, but he's going to be a candidate. When I talk about a real contender, I'm talking about somebody that is probably going to win it. And if he doesn't win it, you feel like he's gotten snubbed and you feel like it's a mistake. Much like the Colton Wong not getting the gold glove last year. You felt like that was a mistake. Jack Flaherty is going to win one someday. And it might be a while because you still have some really good pitchers in the National League. But that dude is incredible. And it's not just the arm talent. It's the stuff we're talking about. It's the fact the demeanor, the his upstairs is in order. And I don't ever worry about him being out there.
And there are some guys, just because of their imposing physical build, that I look at as a horse. Roger Clemens was a horse. Chris Carpenter, a horse pitcher. There are some guys out there. Syndergaard, to me, has the look.
Yeah.
He hasn't done it yet, but he has the look. I can't envision Marcus Stroman at 5'11 and 165 pounds being a horse type pitcher. Flaherty has every attribute that I think you're looking for, that I would be looking for in an ace, with the size, with the mechanics, with the velocity, with the pitches.
You talk about
with
durability too?
Yeah, everything. And I think size in many cases leads to durability.
I think it depends.
If I just see a video of Jack Flaherty pitching, and then the next video I see, and this is something that where you can get fooled. But if you see Carlos Martinez, you say, okay, who's the guy that you want pitching in game five? You'd take Flaherty because he's just a big, strong, strapping guy. And he's got that in addition to when you see him on the mound, just look at the body language of Carlos as opposed to the body language of Jack Flaherty. Even when things are going bad, Flaherty exhibits positive body language, and Carlos doesn't all the time. There's so much that goes into being great, and I think part of it is believing you're great all the time.
For me, I'm not as concerned about that stuff with Martinez, though it's not a nothing for me. You know, I don't I don't think it means nothing, okay, when looking at Martinez and the way he goes about his business. But when I look at Flaherty, I see a lot of effortless pitching, which I do think is important. Martinez seems to, and I'm talking about when he's throwing the baseball, I'm talking about pure mechanics. He puts a lot into every yep. single pitch. Yep. That's really tough to do over 200 innings and then do it in the postseason. That's hard to do. Not that he can't do it, because I think he can. He probably does have to get some things upstairs ironed out, because there's, I know he's had a lot going on. I know he's had some personal stuff that's been happening. He's had some people in his life that he's lost and recently. So I'm sure that's all playing a part of whatever's going on with him. And I think we have to be mindful of it. But in this point in time, Jack Flaherty not only has that all locked up at the moment, everything is going really well for him, and he's effortless when he throws.
He is. I want to make one other point here, and I'm 100% bullish on Flaherty and what he'll be in 5 years. But if you would have asked me 5 years ago what Michael Wacha would be, I said, oh, stud, right. horse, big, strong, strapping guy with every attribute you need to be great. Doesn't work out for everybody, but we can see it in Flaherty. It's a Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. We are about 45 minutes away from the pregame for Game 5 between the Cardinals and the Braves. More on previewing the game coming up. Plus, what? We want to know, you want to know.
Why'd you call him a moron?
No, I didn't. I said we will have more about on.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you were calling somebody a moron.
I wouldn't do that.
All right.
And then you want to ask some people some questions with the mic drop?
I got a question. We got a text message here. It says, Jack and Cokes on Jack Flaherty Day. That seems like a really good thing. Please read anonymously. I am, quote, sick from work. Fly birds. I want to know how many people have called in sick today or have made up some excuse they can't go to work so they can watch this game. And I want to know what the excuse is.
I love that.
Mic drop us. Get that 101 yep. ESPN app out and send us a mic drop. Tell us what you did to get off work.
And you can mic drop us anonymously. We will not give your name.
Correct.
And we know that some of you are just, you're going to call in anonymously and maybe change your voice, because we know that your boss probably is...
never satisfied.
Never satisfied.
Yeah.
That's so the way it goes.
So I bet that person, whoever that guy is, I'm sure he's called in sick today.
I would think so. You are next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. MLB.com has ranked the all-time best Game 5s, and as you might guess,
the Cardinals... this one already on the list?
This one?
Today's Game 5.
I don't think it's going to be exceedingly competitive.
Because it's going to be a blowout?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the problems that the MLB ranking has is that they list the Carpenter-Halliday game only as number 3 all-time, which is clearly number 1.
What's number 1 and 2?
They have number 1, the 1995 game, Mariners-Yankees, where Griffey scored the winning run. That was a pretty good game. And then they've got the Joey Bats bat flip game a couple of years ago,
that was
2015.
Pretty awesome.
That was a pretty good game, too.
That was the first one where the bat flip conversation really, really accelerated, where people started to, I think, adopt it and embrace it a little bit more.
If you're wondering, Cardinals-Nationals, the big comeback game, was listed number 4 at MLB.com. The number 6 game, Diamondbacks over the Cardinals 2-1, that was the devastating loss on the base hit by Tony Womack. And the Cardinals otherwise are not in there. But that's not bad, having four of they're being in 4 of the top 10. People, as they should do, because they're the BFIB here in St. Louis, taking today off so that they can take in Cardinal baseball here on 101 ESPN. And how are people doing that? Do you just call your boss and say, boss, I can't come in today. I got a cold. I can't make it.
Well, okay, here's what one person said from a 636, and we're taking your text messages to the Hot Shots text line 65780 and your mic drops, the 101 ESPN app. And this person says they called their boss and said, I'm sorry, I slipped on something outside, rolled my ankle. I have to go to urgent care. I went to urgent care and pretended my ankle was sprained. They gave me a walking boot and a doctor's note, took the walking boot, went home, made myself some cheese dip, and cracked a cold beer.
That is well done.
Cost me $35 after insurance. So this person paid $35 to get off work and lied about a sprained ankle.
That is great.
So do you go into the urgent care and they look at your ankle and it's not swollen?
But it hurts.
You're like, allegedly. I don't know. It really hurts. I don't know. But yes, your ankle looks fine from here. Yep. You want us to do an x-ray? No, I think I'm okay.
Okay.
All right, here's a boot.
We promised that you would be anonymous if you left the mic drop, so here's our first one.
Yeah, I've done run out of excuses. With the early games last week, the games here in St. Louis, Sunday and Monday, I had to leave early every day. Today was no different. Told my boss, you know, hey, 4 o'clock game. He said, all right, well, we'll see you later. And that was that. So let's go Birds.
Wow, he just straight up. That's honesty.
Yeah, that is. That's Andrew, by the way. So he doesn't need to be anonymous.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
His boss knows.
Damn, man. Good for him.
Yeah.
This from a 618. My son goes to an at-home daycare. I told my boss the daycare is closing early and I have to leave work by 3:30.
Smart. Good.
So that's an outrageous lie.
Go pick up the kid, though. Make sure you do, because there really is no excuse to have a young St. Louisan, however, 3, 4, 5, and not have them watching this game
so they
can be initiated.
Right.
Probably in daycare, first opportunity to see the Cardinals in the postseason.
From a 314, I'm a stay-at-home dad, 2 kids. I'm dropping off my kids at my in-laws to get laundry done and mow the lawn.
What about the game? Oh, that's what he's saying.
That's what he said he's
laundry doing. Laundry done and mow the lawn. Okay. That's cool. Good. Good play. Let's go to another mic drop.
I can't make it to work. I got a sore throat. I'll be in tomorrow, I'm sure.
I've been trying to set this up for days, but I'm still coming to work.
Hey, look at us. We're here at work.
Yeah.
You got all these people in St. Louis who have made up excuses to not go to work, even though they're still getting paid. And you and I, Randy, look at us. We're at work.
Yeah. But will we be at
we're
the
dedicated.
First pitch? Will we still be at work when the first pitch in anger is thrown down at SunTrust Park?
Oh, that's a good point.
Okay, so yeah, don't look at us that much. Let's get to another mic drop on 101 ESPN.
Randy, Ranj, Noah like the Ark here. My wife let the cat out this morning on accident, and I had to hunt him down, grabbed him by the scruff of the neck. He mauled my hand like a tiger in the middle of a fury, and I had to go to urgent care. I even have the bill to show it.
Those cats can be nasty on game day.
But he just gave himself up. It's Noah, like the Ark.
Yeah.
So now if you're this person's boss, if you're Noah's boss, you know what he did.
Well, no, he's legitimately hurt. He's got to stay home, otherwise he'll infect other people. He might get that cat disease where once you get like a tiger, a furious tiger, where it bites you and then you get the rabies.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
you might start
that.
Foaming at the mouth at work. Mm-hmm. And then you might start biting people's hands. There you
Would
go.
Would you stab yourself somewhere that's in a safe spot just so you can go get stitches so you can watch the game?
Yeah, that's what urgent care is for.
I don't know if you'd do that to yourself, though. Would you?
Get somebody else.
Is this game five worth it for that?
There have been people that have hired other people to inflict pain on themselves. It's happened.
From a 314,
uh-huh.
I'm a night shift doctor in a pediatric ER. I enjoy working all nights, but every October, I rearrange my schedule and work only days and make sure I am off for all the playoff games so I don't have to call in sick.
That's a good idea.
I mean,
that's why you pick a career, really.
You've got to get a career where you can do this.
How about this one from the 314? I didn't hear anything from work last night, so I assumed I wasn't working today. They did call at 6:30 this morning, but I didn't answer just so I could watch the game.
Oh, my gosh.
See, that's thinking ahead.
There's somebody else who said they work from home, but they called in sick so their boss wouldn't call during the game and bother them, which I think is really great. There's another person here, Randy. Oh, and I just lost the text. This is brilliant planning ahead. I mean, this is when you're really thinking about how you're going to get off work. From a 314, had to start acting sick yesterday with a cough, so it was believable today.
Yeah. See, that's planning. That's somebody who really cares about Cardinal baseball.
I love that. I don't know if I'm going to make it to work tomorrow.
Yeah. our friends at Rawlings closing at 3 so everybody can get off to watch the game.
See,
so
that's nice.
That's a great company. And a mail carrier checks in from the 314, says, I already finished my route. So I guess if you can finish your route fast enough, if you're a mail carrier, you can get home in time to tune into 101 ESPN and tune into the game.
I've also heard that you can, if you're a mail carrier, that you can rent a storage space, and what you don't get delivered, just go put the rest of it in that.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, just put it in there.
Yeah, nobody will ever notice.
If it's not in your truck, you can't deliver it.
It's true. We have one more mic drop here on 101 ESPN.
Me being the dedicated employee that I am, I will be working tonight from home during commercial break.
See, that's dedication right there.
So 3 minutes at a time.
We are proud of you. We are proud of Fastlane Nation today. We are going to talk to the great Greg Amsinger of MLB Network, and he'll tell us who he thinks is going to win today. Next in the Fastlane on 101 ESPN. The great Greg Amsinger, lead anchor for MLB Network, a native St. Louisan and lead anchor for MLB Network, is with us now on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. You can watch Greg on MLB Tonight, airing live before and after every postseason game, and you can watch Greg after tonight's Game 5 between the Dodgers and the Nationals. How you doing, sir?
I'm giddy with excitement. I don't know what you guys
Oh, it doesn't get any better than this. I want to start with this.
It's one of my favorite days I've had in a long time working at MLB Network in years. I mean, we had two, you know, winner move on, loser go home games tonight that will throw the entire month of October out of whack, depending on who wins.
I would have never dreamed that three of the four series would go to five games.
Oh, are you kidding? I thought all would be sweeps. No joke. I thought that, and in St. Louis, I thought that the Cardinals were going to sweep the Braves. I thought Jack Flaherty, you know, after Michaelis, my only question was Michaelis in game one. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this is Flaherty going game two. To go back to St. Louis, Waino on the hill, Cardinals are sweeping. Holy smokes. We're going to have all sweeps. But what the Rays did yesterday, I mean, it's mind-boggling. I said it on the air. This would be the greatest 0-2 comeback in division series history. To come back 0-2 against the best baseball team that I've covered in 11 years in MLB Network, the Houston Astros, against Greinke, Verlander, and Cole. If they pull that off, they do that three in a row against those pitchers, there wouldn't be anything close, in my opinion.
Maybe in the history of sports, the only thing that would be close would be the Red Sox coming back from 3-0 in 0-4. I mean, I'm talking in all sports.
But look at the payroll comparison to that season. You know what I mean? The Red Sox spent a lot of money on that squad. And I know the Yankees spent more, but the disparity here is ridiculous.
It's outrageous.
It's David versus Goliath. The Houston Astros have ponied up to some of their players. Justin Verlander makes a ton of money. Jose Altuve got his extension. They've got money on the books for the squad, whereas the Tampa Bay Rays have the lowest payroll on opening day. To do what they did with a bullpen game against Justin Verlander, I know he's on a short rest. I know he's 36, but a bullpen game. And now you look at what they could throw in Game 5 against Gerrit Cole, who clearly will be favored after 15 Ks and one walk. Clearly the best pitcher going right now in baseball, Gerrit Cole. But you got Tyler Glass now, who was the best pitcher in the American League before he was injured in the month of April. Then their bullpen for this Game 5 will consist of Blake Snell, who enjoyed coming out of the pen for the first time since 2015 in high A ball. That was the first time we've seen him come out of the bullpen, and he enjoyed it. And then you're going to have Charlie Morton in the back end. And can we please pay attention to how nasty Diego Castillo was? Threw a 99-mile-an-hour sinker, but almost hit the back foot of Jose Altuve, and he swung. So the Rays have weapons to come at the Houston Astros trying to pull off the unthinkable.
Greg, and if Gerrit Cole is the best pitcher in baseball going right now, probably the second best is Jack Flaherty, the guy pitching today. And we've been talking about our level of confidence in him. I can't think of a single reason not to be confident in a Jack Flaherty start in a Game 5.
You should be confident. I mean, if the Atlanta Braves beat the St. Louis Cardinals in a five-game series, and two of their three victories came on Jack Flaherty-started games, you tip your cap. They earned to punch the ticket to the NLCS. They earned it because the kid is off the charts great right now, even in the game against Mike Foltynewicz. And Mike Foltynewicz, I thought he should be the game one starter for the Braves In the postseason, you need swing and miss, and it's why the Minnesota Twins, 3-and-done, see ya. They didn't have swing and miss on the roster against the Yankees. Foltynewicz was dominant against the Cardinals in 7 scoreless innings, and he's got the best stuff on their team. Yes, his stuff is better than Mike Soroka's. His stuff is better than Dallas Keuchel's. He is high octane. You know, when he kind of broke out, just in terms of his body and mechanics, remind me a lot of Justin Verlander. So he's awesome. But Jack Flaherty is 2 notches above him. And I was so – I don't know how closely you pay attention to these press conferences when you get a chance to listen to the starter the day before. And I walked away with even more confidence in Jack Flaherty after the amount of smiling. And it wasn't nervous energy that he had at the podium. He has the same kind of energy level as Walker Buehler did. These two guys are enjoying the moment. They're young, but they are really having fun doing this. So I expect Flaherty, who again, think about the calmness he's going to have, to not have to worry about game plan and strategy. He gets to walk out to the mound and just look at whatever fingers Yadier Molina puts down, nod his head yes, and throw it. And that just gives you an extra layer of confidence. And when you look back at the history of Cardinals postseason baseball, when their backs are against the wall, they're pretty successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when everyone else is trying to figure out game plan with their pitcher-catcher battery, all of these pitchers throughout the years are throwing to the same guy, and they just blindly follow him. Follow the leader works in St. Louis because that guy's Yadi.
Greg Amsinger, MLB Network, with us on 101 ESPN. Foltynewicz has been so good down the stretch here. And obviously, when you look at what he was able to accomplish in Game 2, he presents a real challenge for the Cardinals. How do they beat him?
I think the approach that Yadier Molina took in the 8th inning to hit that little floater that barely got over the head of Freddie Freeman is the approach here in this game tonight. Don't try to get into that Braves bullpen. I know it's not the velocity that you're going to see from Mike Foltynewicz, but you got to attack this guy early. You can't expect him to be erratic, and you don't want to wait for him to spin the ball. So you got to hunt fastballs early in the count. You got to go up there ready to swing. There will be frustrating at-bats to the fans watching this game tonight. If this is the approach, which I think it will be for the St. Louis Cardinals, you will see a guy at third base with one out, and someone's going to walk up and swing at the first pitch. And you go, what kind of at-bat was that? No, you have to get to this guy early in counts, because if he can set you up, his breaking ball is almost unhittable, especially if he establishes the high fastball at 97 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up and in, and he's got command of that elevated fastball. His hook looks like the same thing. So he'll be bouncing hooks guys are swinging at. Don't wait for it. Go up hunting fastballs. And if the Cardinals do that, his pitch count's going to be low, but that's fine. You got to strike first. The Cardinals have to score first in this game. If they can get a 2-run cushion and let Flaherty kind of ease into cruise control, the Cardinals are going to win this game.
On the other side for Flaherty, and going back to him here for just a moment, they've got a lineup, the Braves do, that hasn't been particularly good either. I mean, both of these lineups have been very similar. You've got a couple of guys in each that have been doing really, really well, and everybody else has not done much at all. Aside from Acuna, who do they have to worry the most about?
How much longer can Freddie Freeman be cold? I know he's been dealing with an injury, but this is still one of the premier hitters in the sport. It's nerve-wracking to think that they've gotten to a Game 5 with the Cardinals, and they've gotten nothing from Freddie Freeman. And all he needs is one swing to break out of it, and then he's the kind of bat that can carry a team. So all eyes on Freddie Freeman. I expect Mike Shildt and his staff to manage this game as if Freddie Freeman was David Ortiz in 2013 in the World Series, because that's the way you have to approach this. You're not pitching around Albies to get to Freddie Freeman. No, you still use your best weapons to get Freddie Freeman out late in the game, because to me, there are two guys that have been ice cold that are eventually going to snap out of it. And Cardinal fans better hope that tonight Freddie Freeman just stays on ice until spring training. But Cody Bellinger has been ice cold for the Dodgers, and so has Freddie Freeman for the Braves. These two guys get going, it changes everything. So all eyes on those Freddie Freeman at bats, folks. Watch how Flaherty pitches him. Watch what decisions she'll make later in the game in terms of approaching a Freeman AB. He's the guy I'm worried about. You keep him on ice, and the Cardinals' chances go up because Acuna can get on base and try to swipe bags all he wants. But if their run producer in the middle of the order isn't getting it done, Josh Donaldson's a free swinger, and he always will be. Freddie Freeman's the guy that really gives stability to the middle of that lineup, and if he gets going, this could be a tough one for St. Louis.
If it's not a tough one, if the Cardinals come out on top, who do they see in the NLCS?
I like the Washington Nationals.
I do, too.
I know it sounds crazy, but I think game one will be Friday night in St. Louis, game two Saturday night, because Steven Strasburg is at a whole new level. This is a guy that owns it now. And Walker Buehler is going to be great. I think this could be an epic pitching matchup. Like, this could be a historically good pitching duel. I don't know if it's more Smoltz, but this could be pretty close tonight. And Steven Strasburg will not be denied. Chavez Ravine's going to be bouncing, but I expect Steven Strasburg to lead the charge. And if you're a fan of in St. Louis, which everyone listening to this is, you're rooting for the Washington Nationals. You're rooting because if the Cardinals win this game and then Strasburg pitches the Nationals' way into the NLCS, that's the worst bullpen in the sport right now, man. It just is. No offense to Doolittle and Hudson, but they're mixing and matches. Throwing Patrick Corbin in the bullpen was a train wreck, and they're not going to ever do that again. They just don't have enough depth for a seven-game series. They can survive a five, but a seven-game National League Championship Series, they don't have enough. So if the Cardinals beat the Braves, everyone in St. Louis better be rooting for Mad Max Scherzer, Patrick Corbin, and Steven Strasburg. I know it sounds like a lot of starting pitching, but they just after that, it drops off considerably.
I don't know if I like the idea of saying one team has more pressure on it than the other one does because this is the playoffs. I don't know how you can feel less of it than another team can, but in looking at those two teams and what they have accomplished and not accomplished, which would be the bigger disappointment to not advance?
Dodgers. I mean, at some point, the Dodgers have to win a World Series, and Clayton Kershaw isn't getting any younger. His level of dominance is going to deteriorate year by year, we expect, unless he has a Justin Verlander resurgence, but he never really had that overpowering velocity that Verlander has been able to consistently have through his 30s. So I love the Dodgers team, but this is a club that's ready to win right now, and if they don't make it past the division series, there will be a lot of questions they have to answer. You know, where do they go in certain positions? Is Corey Seager a guy they see playing shortstop, you know, down the road with Gavin Lux, an emerging, you know, prospect? They've got a lot of question marks. The A.J. Pollock sign doesn't look like it was money well spent. What's the back end of this rotation going to look like? Is Hyunjin Ryu going to be back? He's a free agent. Rich Hill is almost 40 years old, and he's a free agent. Well, you're going to take the team that we all viewed as by far the best in the National League, and now we're going to go, okay, why are they a mess?
Yep.
One game can make us change the narrative for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Whereas the Nationals, other than Rendon, and I get it, he's a very important player, they got a young man in the minor leagues named Carter Kieboom, who they expect to be able to make that transition to third base if Rendon doesn't come back, which I don't expect him to. And you have Trey Turner, Carter Kieboom. Turner's only going to get better. Juan Soto, to me, is one of the top three hitters in baseball, and he's only 20 years old. It's ridiculous. Robles' offensive game is going to continue to emerge. I don't see the Nationals, and again, Strasburg could opt out. If he opts out, then we're changing our tune a little bit, but the Nationals, with Scherzer and Corbin guaranteed to be back, they'll be spending an entire offseason on this bullpen and try to fix that. The Nationals weren't expected to do what the Dodgers were expected to do in spring training. So, therefore, I think the Dodgers have much more pressure.
Hey, Greg, I want to touch on the Cubs because it was at this time last year that you were telling us, hey, keep an eye on that Joe Maddon situation there. I don't think that he'll be back after 2019, and he's not going to be back. Who is leading the way for the Cubs? I know that Joe Girardi is getting an interview there. They've already interviewed Mark Loretta, one of their coaches, and Will Venable, another. Who do you think winds up with that Cubs job?
Well, everyone keeps pointing to David Ross, and I can totally see that. Joe Girardi, good friend now. I love working with him. I'm heartbroken to see that he's going to be a manager, but I'm so happy for him at the same time. He deserves to be. He's so well-prepared, and I enjoyed my time with him so much. When I found out I was going to be working with Joe Girardi, I got to be honest with you, I initially told our bosses, I'm like, well, I'm still going to be a goofball on TV. That was my reaction. I was like, look, I know you're going to put them on with me a lot. I'm still going to be the way I am on TV. he came off as militant, you know, when he was with the Yankees, and wasn't exactly warm and fuzzy with the media. I was blown away by how warm and fun and funny Joe Girardi actually is, and I enjoy him so much. He's learned a lot. I knew he needs to soften up in his next managerial gig, and I'm sure he's saying that to the Cubs and anyone else that's going to interview him. I think the Cubs are interviewing Joe Girardi because they want to give extra credibility to the manager that doesn't have any managerial experience that they're eventually going to hire. I think that's what this whole process is. David Ross will be named the manager of the Chicago Cubs, and they'll be able to say at the press conference, say, look, we interviewed a lot of guys. Some of them, like Joe Girardi, had an incredible run as manager of the New York Yankees, won a world championship. But, man, we thought David Ross was a better fit. That's going to give him extra credibility. And I think Joe Girardi understands that. Joe's going to be the manager of the Mets, in my opinion.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah,
almost a done deal, and he's going to be a perfect fit there with the New York Mets, another team ready to win right now. But Theo and Jed running the Cubs, they've done it, and now they want a manager that's going to be their buddy and going to do exactly what they tell him to do, and they don't want any pushback anymore. And Joe Maddon's getting way too much pushback, and that's over. I will say this. If you're looking for a second candidate that's going to be right behind David Ross, they love Will Venable. Will Venable's going to be a manager someday. Brilliant, young, 36 years old, was a pretty good player. He's going to be in the mix for that San Diego Padres job as well. Went to Princeton, and I'm telling you what, one of the most likable people you're ever going to meet. So Will Venable is a legit candidate, not just for the Cubs job, but you'll see his name pop up other places too.
Greg, we've got about a minute here, and our colleague Jamie Rivers was unfamiliar with the concept of pick-to-click. Who's yours for the afternoon? Because I know you know what that means.
My pick-to-click in terms of the player that's going to have the big game, right?
That's right.
Okay, good. I'm going to make sure. you know, this is weird. I know this sounds off the wall. It's the guy that no one's expecting, and I think Dexter Fowler's going to have a big game five. I think Dexter Fowler is going to have his moment where fans in St. Louis are going to go, he's one of us. This is our guy. He's going to have a big hit, big play. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be Dexter Fowler that we're going to be talking about. I can't put it all on Yadi again. He already came through. You can't expect for magic all the time. But I think it's going to be the overlooked veteran, Dexter Fowler, that comes through big in Game 5 for the Cardinals. He's my pick to click.
Should be a lot of fun. We'll be watching you tonight after the Nationals-Dodgers game, and then I will see you at Lindenwood on Friday morning.
I know. I'm stoked. I just went shopping with my wife and daughter as they picked out their outfits for the event Friday morning. I look forward to it. As you can tell, fashion is actually in the family, Randy. It's not just me.
Oh, I know. It's an important thing, and it should be. Hey, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. Enjoy the games.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, brother. See ya. That is our buddy Greg Amsinger, MLB Network. Great job by our producer today, Brad Barnes. Ronj.
A lot of people I could thank for my good show today, but...
Mike Ryder, our board operator. And we appreciate you tuning in, texting in, and being a part of the show. Cards and Braves, Game 5 coming up. Doesn't get any better than this. For all of us, till tomorrow at 2. Have a great time, St. Louis.